gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1257. This is your host, Danny Pena. And it looks like now for the past couple weeks, I've been posting multiple content, multiple episodes during the week. So that's good. We have a lot of content coming up. Actually, I've been recording a lot of interviews lately. So I'm going to be saving this and other interviews for next week's episode and everything. So stay tuned for that. But I'm planning to post a lot of content also during Summer Game Fest that's happening in June. So stay tuned for that. You know, it's going to be similar to like past E3s. I want to do something like that. We haven't done that in a while. So let's see how everything works out. But it looks like we're going to have a lot of cool stuff coming up, man, especially for the month of May and June. So stay tuned. And thank you everyone for supporting and listening to Gamertag Radio every week here on your favorite podcast app. Also, if you want, go right now to gamertagradio.com and listen to our content there. We have thousands, over 1,000 episodes, so you could go back to the archives and listen to like past debates, interviews, hands-on impressions, everything. Just look it up. We're there. Also, you can find us on any podcast app. All you have to do is just search for Gamertag Radio. We're there. Follow us, subscribe, post a review. It will help us out. It only takes a couple seconds. Just go right now to your favorite podcast app, post your review right there. All right. Now, I want to do fan mail. I'm not doing fan mail unless we get questions from the fans. I've been seeing the numbers of the listens every episode. It is increasing. You know, the numbers are good. So all you have to do is send us an email or go to speakpipe.com/gamertagradio or send us a voicemail, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. You could do it from your phone, from your computer, anywhere. Just set us up. And the more questions we get, now we're going to start asking questions for you guys, the whole team, the whole crew. All right? So once again, here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so we have a couple interviews here for this episode of GTR. One is I have one of the developers for the game Immortals of Avium. This is coming out soon, I believe next month or so. So this game is a first-person shooter, magical shooter. And we talked about the game, the concept, how it came up, and everything. So we have an interview about that. Also joining us is Steve Spawn. We talked about their gala event for Able Gamers, and that was a great conversation too. So I'm going to play that here in Gamertag Radio. Now, coming up, I have interviews, a very important interview. I recorded one that I can't say just yet, but that one's going to be a cool one. I'm going to release that in the next episode. Also, I have another interview with Little Brother Fonte from Little Brother, and also he's part of the Foreign Exchange. He's going to be on GTR, and we talked about music and games. I haven't done an interview with a music artist in a while, so that was really cool, just chatting with him about his career and his favorite games and everything, and also past projects, because they've also been part of multiple games soundtracks, so like NBA 2K just recently, MLB The Show. You know, Fonte's in there too, so great conversation. I'm going to play that on the next episode of Gamertag Radio, so stay tuned for that. We're planning to review a couple of stuff And hopefully we could talk about it more next week. So stay tuned for that. It's going to be very exciting. I can't wait. So, all right. So let's play the interviews. And once I come back, I'm going to wrap it up. Check it out. Enjoy.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Hi, I'm Jason Warnke, lead combat designer at Ascendant Studios, working on Immortals of Avium. I focus on the core gameplay loop, the combat and the meta gameplay, and just a lot of fun stuff, I think.
Yeah, and I got to see the game, also got to play the game behind the scenes. But I'm very excited to actually talk to you about this, man.
Excited to talk to you about it.
Yeah. Let's talk about how you guys came up with the concept, man, of, you know, instead of being a first-person shooter, this is a first-person magical shooter. Am I correct?
Yeah. Brett, you know, I'm sure you heard the story of Brett, you know, being in a meeting while playing Call of Duty or reviewing Call of Duty level and thinking about how it would be to do magic. And when he told me about that concept, I was just absolutely struck because, you know, back in the day playing Hexen and always like fantasy games, but also like shooters, and that crossover isn't very common. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when we got into it and we started talking about what do we want to do with this, what do we want to, you know, because you have games like, you've seen games like Witchfire, which looks so good, but they have the approach of it's magic and also a gun. And I've played a lot of Destiny. So we wanted to challenge that, see where we could go with this concept. And we're here. And, you know, it was kind of a big risk to try a shooter with no guns, but I think it's working out really well for us.
Yeah. It's very interesting. Like, I'm very excited to play the official game once it releases. But, you know, I remember I was at the Game Awards and you guys showed the trailer for the first time. And, you know, and automatically I'm like, oh, so this is going to be a co-op experience. But once I heard it was a single player experience, I was like, you know what? I think that's good, because I seen a lot of studios just working on multiplayer, and I just love the whole concept of just playing single player campaign, especially when it has like a really good story. So how was it for you guys, you know, showing that to the world for the first time back in December, man? I know you guys were very excited behind the scenes, right?
I'm beside myself. I think the entire studio is just kind of alight with excitement, showing off the game and getting to talk about it finally after 4 years, you know? Mm-hmm. A little bit about what you were saying before about, you know, multiplayer and single player. We have one of the best writers in the industry, Michael Kirkbride. Brett is great as well. And it's just the writing of our game and the story of our game is really interesting. And so I love co-op games. I love multiplayer games. I play a lot of Warzone on my own, you know. And so working on that stuff would be cool. But this product that we're making is very unique, very interesting. Mm-hmm. And I don't, you know...
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. So tell us a little bit about the main character in this game. Does he start off with these powers, or eventually he start discovering them, or how's that going to work in the game?
Yeah, Jack is what we're calling an unforeseen. It's a person who was born without innate magical abilities, and then they erupt in a moment of high stress or trauma. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I noticed that there's different colors and these powers. Well, you could tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, in the world of Avium, when someone someone displays magic, usually it displays in one color. Maybe sometimes a special person might have two colors and be a diarch. Mm-hmm. But Jack is very rare, and he has the ability to cast all three colors. It doesn't make him innately more powerful than other Magni, because he can't specialize like a single color Magni might, but it gives him a wide variety, which is something we want to pass on to the player, a huge kit of spells to play at all times, different spells for different moments. You know, you might find yourself up against a specific enemy color, which our gameplay, well, at a high level, our gameplay is about choosing cool spells you like and choosing cool gear, building out a kit, you know, a talent tree that really supports your playstyle. And then under that, we also have the Simon Says spell versus spell concept, where enemies can cast spells that are defensive spells. Enemies can cast defensive spells that protect themselves in a particular way. And it's color coded, so you will see a blue shield and you will want to use blue spells to pop it quickly. Other spells are still effective, but it's always best to use the same color of the enemy spell. It's always best to use the appropriate, the same color offensive spell against an enemy's color to defensive spell.
Mm. Yeah, which one is your favorite one? Because I seen multiple. I seen the green one. I believe a red one, man. Blue, right?
You know,
yeah.
There's three different plays. Like we're supporting three major play styles, and then there's sub variants of those play styles. So if you're going blue, you know, you're going sniper. You want those perfect headshots. You want those hit scans. You're putting up this big shield, and you're turtling. Mm-hmm. And the shield, you know, we don't have a lot of cover in our game. We bring our cover with us. So the shield spell slows you down. So you're, you know, you're defensive. You're taking a stance and you're fighting. Mm-hmm. And when that breaks, then you have to run, right? We're playing with a run and gun green style, which is a lot of projectiles, very fast SMG style or LMG style. And that they all home, you know, you can kind of bullet bend into people's heads for headshots. And the defensive element of that is blinking around, teleporting, being evasive. So your armor is always going to be low. Mm-hmm. But my favorite, my play style is the Berserker. It's the red class, you know. It's
the red class. Okay.
It's a big blast. You want to be like right on top of somebody to do as much damage as possible. And then the defensive element is just passive armor. So you're just like armoring up, getting in, being in the fray, huge explosions, doing all these these red blasts and these strikes on people's faces. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. I know, you know, previous single player campaign that I played, you know, there's also puzzles, because it's not only just shooting, right? Is there going to be also puzzles in the game, and how's that going to work and with the powers?
Yeah, you know, that kind of touches to the whole pace of our game. Mm-hmm. Our game is mostly mostly combat, but we have this, well, I shouldn't say mostly combat. Our game is all narrative. It's mostly a narrative game. Mm-hmm. It's built in this hub and spoke elements or pattern. So you go into a level, it's linear, you get this great story, you get this great dialogue, you do these big fights, these big bosses. And between all of that, we have these slower moments where you go to an old ruin, you see a puzzle around the room and a locked door, and you're like, I gotta figure this out to get out. And also, as you're exploring, as you're doing these story levels, you're going to see stuff that you can't do at that moment. So we have a bit of Metroidvania around the world, a lot to explore and a lot to find if you're curious and hungry for that kind of stuff.
What is it that your favorite thing about working on this project, man? Because I feel like you guys, this is like a passion project. Like you guys are very excited. You know, you guys have been working this for a while, and it's hard to keep this as a secret for a very long time. You know what I'm saying? So what has it been like your favorite thing about working on this project with the team?
That's impossible to answer, right? Like I love what people are doing with the narrative, the writing. I love seeing the level designers making incredible levels and puzzles and taking the combat to the next level. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm really gratified having been able to do some secret bosses. So, you know, there's certain things that I've got to hide in the game as a ex Call of Duty, you know, zombies designer. Mm-hmm. And just all of the combat, seeing how people are going to build out their kit, seeing how they're going to engage in combats.
I was going to ask you, man, like, you know, coming from, you know, working on a big project like, you know, Call of Duty, well-known first-person shooter, and going to this, like, how refreshing was that to try something new, totally, totally new and unique?
I mean, my career has been pretty varied. I've worked on freemium games. I've worked at Zynga. I've worked on licensed third-person action games. Mm-hmm. So coming to Call of Duty was actually a really cool experience because I got to see how this machine built high-quality, you know, $1 million per second kind of games. Mm-hmm. And that doing that for like, you know, a number of years was really an interesting learning experience for my career. But, you know, getting to come here and have that same kind of focus on quality and then also being able to do something just different and amazing. It's I call this the unicorn project. I'm not sure you know, if I'll ever get another job like this again.
Yeah. You know, I'm so curious, like, how was it, you know, finding out like, oh yeah, we're going to work on this game. It's going to be a magical first person shooter. You guys were like, wait, what? At the beginning, right?
I mean, I've known Brett for a long time. So I was like, really? We're going to do that?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
You know, like, what are well, pinch me and wake me up. Like, am I dreaming? This sounds awesome.
Yeah, definitely. What are the inspirations of like coming with the, you know, the game design, like the levels, also maybe just like the shooters and everything like that. Like how that helped to come up with the concept for this game. Was there any inspiration from that?
Oh, I mean, everything. We've all communally played God of War and loved it and loved their approach to story and the way that they built out their levels. Played an absolutely humongous amounts of Destiny. You know, go back to the days of Hexen. How do they approach magic in a first-person shooter? Also, Marvel was also, there's just too many influences to really count. And what we did is we took all of these things that we enjoyed mm-hmm. and we filtered them through, like, what makes that work for them? What's going to work for us? And again, I'm working with Brett. It's been such a joy because he's also a game designer and he's also the director and CEO mm-hmm. of the game. So we got to do things challenge what it means to be a shooter. You know, at its core, we want the game to be intuitive, even though it's not guns. You know, we want that controller feel to just be like, you sit down, you start playing, you know, okay, I can move with the left stick, I can aim with the right stick, I can jump with A, I can shoot with R2. And then we got to challenge things like, well, do we need a crouch? I don't know if we need to crouch. Mm-hmm. Instead of crouch on B, why don't we put blink? So now we have a basic mobility ability, blink, which you can use defensively or offensively in combat. And then, you know, lethal grenades, you know, usually you put the lethal grenade on the right trigger, right bumper. So that's where we put our heavy, our fury spells. Those fury spells are, you know, we have a big spell book, so you can cast a whole bunch of those spells at any given time. And then the other thing which challenged was our left trigger. Do we need an ADS? I don't think so. So instead of doing ADS, we have these things called control spells. And you have three options. You have a lash, which is to grab an enemy and pull them close to, you know, follow up with some combo spell, or use it on a larger enemy to travel the space to them and bring the aggression to them, which, you know, depending on your play style, might not be advantageous for you. Mm-hmm. And then the other two, well, I guess I could just, would it be nice to talk about all the spells? I could talk about.
Go ahead. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and the other two deep control spells are, we have a limpet spell, which is it casts out this little loogie of green magic that sticks to enemies. And it's a time spell, so as long as it's attached to something, it slows that character down. And then the last one is a on-demand stun called Disrupt. So you time it against a big enemy's attack. You can stagger them out of a big hit, but it also performs a counter spell. So if you see an enemy caster doing something and you bring out the Disrupt totem, you can counterspell them out of that, creating a big burst of energy and knocking people around out of it. The thing that I really like about this control spell concept on the left trigger is it performs a similar concept to what ADS is. You know, ADS is about helping you aim on their head and you know, knocking some headshots. This is not the same exact thing, but it gives you that same kind of freedom, that kind of breath in combat to line up your shots perfectly, like slow down a big brute character, get that, you know, we have a strike spell called Javelin, which is the heavy blue strike variant. We haven't even talked about that yet. Sorry.
Yeah, go for it.
Each of our sigils focus our magic. So when you're going in for your primary damage, you're using these things called strike spells. Oh, sorry about that.
It's okay.
You're using these things called strike spells, and they are your basic shots, your basic fire. We don't have ammo. We have sigil clip. So the amount of times you can fire that before reloading is different for every sigil. So one of those blue sigils is, you know, we have the DRM, we have the DRM style, we have the railgun style that pierces through enemies, and one of them is called Javelin. So you get that. We did sneak in a little bit of ADS, and you hold this one down, it summons this big, huge beam of energy, and it punches in your ADS, your view a little bit, so you can aim on that headshot and launch it out and hit them. So comboing that limpet spell with that javelin is quite fun against large enemies, because, you know, your enemies are moving a whole lot and you just want, just stay right there for a second. I need to just land this up and bam, get a good headshot out.
Yeah. You know, briefly, you were kind of a little slick there. You talked a little bit about the bosses, man, because I'm very curious about bosses, because that's to me, that's like part of the experience too, man. Like just battling out these like big bosses, you know. How's that going to be in the game? Because I know watching the trailer, there's like, I think look like dragons flying around. Is that just for the trailer, or those like also type of different bosses that we're going to see in the game? Without spoiling a lot, but.
I mean, you know, I grew up with Mega Man as my thing.
Oh, classic.
Like Monster Hunter is I must buy every copy kind of game for me. So bosses are my thing. I love bosses. Our game has a number of bosses, and there's some variants. You know, we do have the dragon, that is a very important thing. It's called the Howler, and we have, but like, you know, Magnus versus monsters is cool. We do have a bunch of those, But we also have Magnus versus Magnus fights, and some of those are the toughest and most visually intense and striking fights in the game. Mm-hmm. And we even, you know, we have some secret bosses in the game as well, which I can't talk about.
Oh, that's cool.
So badly.
Yeah. I mean, is it something that I have to like do a lot of replay to figure it out, or is like something like that, or at least can
we
say
have
that?
Some of those.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Good. Good. Well, I see myself playing a lot. Definitely, man. Yeah. So who, I just want to say, man, is there anything else you want to talk about the game, man? I'm excited. I can't wait to play the full version, man. And I know our listeners are going to be excited too. You know, a lot of them have been asking questions about, you know, when we're going to see more. When are we going to see more about, you know, from you guys to promote the game?
Really,
we've seen teases here and there, right?
You're on YouTube, you might see a countdown right now. In
fact. Oh, there you go.
The last thing I'd want to say is one of the things that I just I want to express to everyone is we've put a lot of effort into varying, you know, gear. Our gear is not, we are not a looter shooter. We are a classic ARPG in that our loot is particularly named. It has descriptions and stats, and you can only find those pieces in one place in the game. So when you find something, it's special. And so early on, you might get some gear that starts supporting your playstyle. You might find some talents that are building out towards a playstyle, like maybe you're going that turtle sniper, for example. Mm-hmm. And later in the game, we start to introduce gear that starts to alter your base spells. Like we have that big Shatter Fury spell that sends off that kind of rumble and then humongous spike explosion. We have a sigil in the game that it doesn't keep pace with the damage of other sigils. It's a lower base damage, but it replaces that single shatter with a triple shatter. And it's very cool.
Yeah, no, I just want to say, man, congrats to you guys. And I'm glad that this is getting a lot of great feedback from the gaming community. And I hope much success for you guys, man. I really want this to be a huge thing for you guys, man. So thank you for taking your time to be on the show.
Thank you so much. Pleasure chatting with you.
No problem.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
Hey, everybody. My name is Steve Spahn. I am the Senior Director of Development at Able Gamers.
Hey, Steven, man. Long time, man. A quick question. I know you have a couple of things going on for Able Gamers, man. Can you tell us? Well, first of all, for those that don't know about Able Gamers, can you mention and talk about a little bit about that? And then we'll go with the event you guys have coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. So Able Gamers is the leading charity for people with disabilities in video games. Essentially, what we do is help people to have the experiences that they want to have in video games. So whether that's bringing people into peer counseling and helping them figure out exactly what controllers they need, and then giving them the controllers and the setup that they need, thanks to the donations of people like your audience and you who support game accessibility, or whether that's working with game developers directly. And using those donations to then hire people who are very smart PhDs who can break down game development and show developers exactly here's where the problems are, here's where the barriers are, here's where the challenges are. Now figure out how do you work around that to design a video game that's accessible for everyone.
Yeah, and how long you guys, and especially you, how long you've been working with Able Gamers what has been like the challenges ever since you've been working on this? Because I noticed there's been a lot of changes the past couple of years with multiple studios now adding accessibility in games.
You know, I feel like it's the same old story of the overnight success, right? The same thing as when people are telling you, like, wow, congratulations on your podcast that you just started yesterday, 17 years ago. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah, it's that grind, man. It's like we've been doing this for so long. Like, I mean, back in, you know, 2007 starting out, and there's just a website that, you know, was intended to be a repository of information so people knew how to play games better, and it turned into this juggernaut organization helping as many people across the world, trying to, you know, be everywhere at the same time to help everybody. And it's a lot of work, but the thing that's changed in the last like 4 years or so has really just been kind of like a, I think, a dam breaking. I think eventually enough people got behind the movement. Enough people said enough of not being able to play video games. They got on board. The advocates started getting loud, started getting rowdy, and, you know, really sort of forcing companies to pay attention to the fact that it's not just three people in wheelchairs. There's a bunch of people with a bunch of disabilities, a bunch of people who want to love and want to give companies money. To access these amazing virtual worlds that we all love, and they just had to open the door. So I think now we're seeing more and more companies opening that door. You know, I'm so happy to have so many advocates fighting alongside me, man. Back when you and I started this thing, just like you were one of the first podcasters, I was one of the first advocates, and it's a lot of work, but you know, I don't know about you, but it feels neat to have been sort of in on the ground floor or something, you know?
No, it feels really good, and you know, I've been seeing your work the past couple of years, man, and I'm glad that the industry is changing because of the work that you've done, you know, and it's really, really cool to see, you know, even celebrities that you guys been working with to try to not only talk to just the gamers, but the non-gamers out there, you know. I know, I think it was Ryan Reynolds. He also been working with you and everything. That's really cool to see, man.
Yeah, man. Ryan Reynolds, The Rock, Hank Green. Got some good larger creators who are out there just trying to make the world a better place. And, you know, hopefully keep bringing in those W's and keep finding like-minded people who just want to see more people get into this medium that we love. I mean, Ryan, I think, is special because it was a friend of mine that had nothing to do with Able Gamers or anything to do with. He doesn't even really play games. He just appreciates the culture and gamers and respects what we do. And sometimes I feel like that's just such a missing component. Like, with, you know, everybody who's been a gamer for multiple years knows, like, sometimes you feel really disrespected even mentioning that you're a gamer. So it just feels good that some people out there really just care about us as an audience and enough to even consider making movies and content for.
I have to mention this. A couple of days ago, I'm there, you know, on Twitter, just browsing and everything, and I got to see your tweet that you guys are having the first ever charity gala. What you could tell us a little bit about that?
Oh man, it's sort of the passion project right now. I've been working with a wonderful fundraising event coordinator named Maggie Judge, who has been helping me along with a team of great people at Able Gamers who are just front running putting together the very first charity gala in a virtual space. So think, man, like Zoom meets Stardew Valley. It's going to be so much fun. It's going to be top down. You're walking around in a ballroom that's like almost like its own little zone, where you get to meet with people. You can talk to them over a camera and talk to them over your microphone and interact with them. And then, you know, from there, decided, well, if we're going to do this first ever annual gala, let's just open it up to everybody, you know, because the thing is, I think a lot of people, number one, would love to go to conventions, but they're expensive. It's $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 for just a couple of days. Or you could come to the Able Gamers event, and it's $25 that's, depending on where you live in the world, a tax write-off. So give a donation to the charity and maybe get to meet some of your favorite content creators and maybe get some cool stuff along the way.
Yeah, and you could interact with them, chat, right? And I mean, that's really cool. And honestly, like, and you're right, not everybody could, you know, can attend conferences and events that's all around, not only in the nation but around the world. It's difficult, man. It's not cheap, you know. But at something like this, where you could just interact with your favorite creator just from home, I think that's really cool. And at the same time, you know, it's for charity too, which is great. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. All proceeds go directly towards the mission of helping people with disabilities be able to play games the way that they want to play. And, you know, whether that's purchasing a controller or doing some peer counseling to get them on the road to gaming again, we had the privilege of working with some amazing sponsors like Twitch and World of Warships, who did a really cool thing. We have an item called a gala in a box, and essentially it is a way of raising donations through NPR style, giving you something in return for your donation. So it's a box, and it's got all kinds of cool stuff in it, like a little Rubik's Cube that looks like an Able Gamers branded one. It's got a Bluetooth speaker that looks like the cassette tape out of Guardians of the Galaxy's awesome mixtape, but it's actually a Bluetooth speaker. Nice. It's really kind of neat, kind of retro throwback kind of thing. It's cool. And it's like, it's $100 for the gala itself. But then we had these sponsors, World of Warships and Logitech, that came in And to be really brief about it, Warships gave us hundreds of dollars worth of codes for anybody who wants to play their game and get a benefit out of donating to charity instead of buying them from Warships themselves. And then Logitech, oh my gosh, dude, like, I don't know about you, but I know me a couple of streamers who want some upgrade. This is sort of their deal right here. For $300, you get a Gala in a Box, which is all the Able Gamers stuff, but you also get literally $1,200 worth of MSRP from Logitech. I'm talking their newest camera, one of their newest microphones, a mouse, a keyboard, a headset. You get the whole shebang. And it's all just for donating to charity. So you get cool stuff, upgrade your gear, or if you're just a viewer and you just want to hand them out as Christmas presents, that's cool too.
Yeah, and I know you forgot to mention this too, man, Voodoo Ranger, because I like their I like their beer too. Oof. Delicious beer.
big yeah. Fan of Voodoo, huh? Yeah, man, they've been great to us, doing shirts at every convention we go to, and this is their first year helping out in the virtual gala too.
That's really cool, man. Really, really cool. And for more information, let's say we have listeners that would like to get involved, like to purchase a ticket, like how they can do that online.
Go to ablegamers.org/gala, and I know this sounds very much like a sponsored ad read portion here, but this is honestly just Danny being a really good friend of mine and supporting the work that a lot of us try real hard. Able Gamers is not a big charity like a St. Jude and some of the other bigger Make-A-Wishes out there that have millions and millions of dollars. We're trying to do what we do on a shoestring budget, and it's getting it done the old-fashioned way by reaching out and saying to people, hey, disabled people are important. Make sure that we can get as many people playing as we can. And fortunately, I met some good friends along the road who help and support with that kind of mission. And, you know, Danny, I appreciate you being one of them. And for anybody out there who wants to come by, I hope you'll drop the $25 just to meet your favorite content creators and say thank you to gamers with disabilities by letting them play video games just like everyone else.
Yeah, no, I think it's very important for us, a community, just as a point. At the same time, you know, I know this was chat and everything, but at the same time, we can meet other people that doesn't have the opportunity to travel, and we could just, you know, just engage online and get to know other players, other gamers from around the world, you know. So I think this is really cool, man. Really, really cool. So this is happening April 22nd. What time exactly is going to happen?
4 p.m. Eastern. The thing starts 2.5 hours worth of streamers meeting each other. And then we're doing a world premiere video that no one's gotten to see about all the cool things. No one's gotten to see it yet. I can't wait for you to talk about it. I'm going to guarantee you, Danny, you get at least one tier. I'm guaranteeing
it. I'm all ready for that.
It's good, man. It's real good.
Yeah, so go ahead. Great. No, I just want to say, everybody that's listening, make sure to go right now to the official website, ablegamers.com/ what?
Gala.
Gala. And make sure to purchase your ticket. And yeah, man, let us know if you guys are going to be there. Let us know on Twitter or Discord. And Steven, man, I just want to say, man, thank you so much. I know this was super last minute, but I think this will be cool to spread the word and tell others about this charity event. So really, really cool,
thank
man.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me, man.
No problem.
This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, everyone, thank you for listening. Episode 1257 here at Gamertag Radio. Remember, we have so much content coming up next week and in the future between now and all the way to June. So stay tuned. We have lots of content, all right? So once again, thank you so much for taking your time to listen to GTR. Remember, hit us up. We would love to do fan mail, but we can't do fan mail without the fan support. So you guys need to send us questions if you want us to do fan mail again, all right? And maybe, who knows, maybe we'll do a, you know, Miss Cleo segment. We haven't done that in a while, so hey, you never know. We have to predict the future, right? So, all right, guys. Thank you for listening. Until next time, this is your host, Danny Pena. I'm out.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.